Welcome to After Dark on the America Outlaw Talk Radio Network. Tonight, my co-host is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. Heather, how are you tonight?
Well, doing fine, Rob. A little disturbed about the developments around the world, but I'm okay. Hey, how about you?
The same, Heather. I'm also equally concerned about, you know, the developments that's taking place around the world. And we've been talking about these developments for quite some time, but just witnessing the anti-Semitism in America, on our college campuses. And we've talked about this before, but never in our lifetime we think we would see this type of hate so openly displayed. I mean, we've gone through so much in this country with different wars. We've had the civil rights movement. And then fast forward to what we're seeing happen now. It's remarkably unbelievable, you know. And I wonder, I mean, these kids, they don't know what they're doing. But you have the adults who know about our history. They know what the country went through. They know about World War II. They know about the Holocaust, although some people want to deny it. And we've seen this denial throughout the years with people saying that the Holocaust didn't exist. And now it's almost acceptable to say that. But then when you look at slavery here in America, and if anyone were to deny that slavery existed, they're immediately called out. They're chastised, but it's like you don't do that. It did exist. And we had slavery was like way before the Holocaust. But still you have those deniers of the Holocaust, and you see what's happening, as I said, on the college campuses, and it's almost acceptable to a portion in society. And Heather, it's really scary because, mm-hmm. as we've said before, if these were Black students who were being denied entry into a university, into a school, into any public spaces, mm-hmm. there would be rallies and marches. I think about the Little Rock Nine during the Civil Rights Movement and how you had people in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas, trying mm-hmm. to deny these nine Black children entry into Central High School. It's like one of the largest high schools in Little Rock. And it took a Republican governor, president, I'm sorry, not governor, but president, Ike Eisenhower, to send the National Guards to protect these students and protect their entry into the school.
Mm-hmm.
And today we have a president, a person who occupies the White House. And if you've listened to our show, you know that I'm very hard pressed to refer to Joe as a president. And I don't want to disrespect the office of the presidency, but I find it just so difficult to, you know, give him that title, looking at everything that he's done, which has been against our culture, against America as a whole, against our values, wanting us to believe a lie, wanting to make it legal to force us to believe a lie, to believe that men can have babies and that men can be called women and that men can take the place of women. And if you get the genders wrong, you can be sent to jail. And now you see him And you can disagree, but I've looked at this and I've struggled with this, but he is openly saying that it is okay to discriminate and to act out the way they are against a group of people because of who they are Jewish brothers and sisters. He's openly doing this because he hasn't come out and spoke against it. And we've heard little him say little things here and there. But remember, this is the same man who said about a week or so ago that you have to understand that there are good people on both sides, referring to the tragedy that happened in Israel on October 3rd, meaning that they were the Hamas, they're good people. They're not good people. They're bad people. They're terrorists. And now you have on college campuses, you have young people that are saying the PLO, Hezbollah, Hamas, they're good people. They're not bad people. They killed Jewish people. I mean, Heather, I'm sorry, but we have to call it out. When we try to sugarcoat it, when we try to reason with what they're doing, we're getting it wrong every time. And we're allowing them to continue to do this. And this is a propaganda of Hamas. And we had our guest to come on, Sammy, who came on about a month or so ago. And he said that Hamas is winning the propaganda war. They're winning this because you look across our college campuses and you see students that are out protesting. I don't care if they don't know what they're saying, but what they're saying is evil and it's dangerous, and you get people killed. And when we were doing the pre-work, I had contacted you and I said, I don't know, what should I go with the topic? Do I go with a vote for Joe's, a vote for death? I mean, because you're definitely, that's what you're doing if you're Jews. And then I said, or do I say that Joe is like the modern day Hitler? And I'm inclined
Yeah,
to say that Joe is, and I know it's hard, I know that it's harsh. I know Hitler was brutal, but Hitler didn't start
yeah,
off
I
that
don't
way.
think so.
He didn't start off that way.
Well,
Okay.
more
And we
like
can,
the modern
but let me
Hitler.
finish, Heather. We can very easily move in the same direction if we don't start calling out the evil that we're seeing. Yes, it's difficult. We don't want to think that it is happening this way, but nor would we have thought that we would see the hate and the vitriol that's on college campuses. Nor would we have thought we would see students openly saying that, okay, down with America, death to Americans, death to Jews. You wouldn't think you would see someone to take down the American flag and put up the Palestinian flag. This is where we are. And as we said before, when these people show us who we are, we have to believe them. We can no longer think, well, no, I'm sorry. Because when we do it, we're denying what these individuals are doing and what their intent is. When you have to protect Jewish students, when the Jewish students are told, don't come to college, they don't come to classes, stay at home. They didn't say, be careful. They said, don't come. Stay at home. They're letting you know we can't protect you. And here at Columbia University, they didn't even want the police to come on the campus. They wanted to handle the matter. Well, they couldn't handle it. And then eventually they had to let the police come on. This is dangerous, Heather. And we have to call it out. And what we have to call out is that this administration and the progressive Democrat arm of the Democrat Party, which has taken over the Democrat Party, because you have those Democrats who are sitting there watching and they won't say anything out of fear. Silence is being complicit. And when you're silent, you get what happened during the Holocaust. When you're silent, people will act out. And we have to start calling it out. We have to call it out the same way they will call it out, because you look at what they're doing. I'm sorry, this is wrong. It's wrong, and I don't want any part of it, so I'm going to call it out. And in my opinion, Joe is a modern day Hitler. What are your thoughts, Heather?
Well, Rob, I think he's more like a modern day Neville Chamberlain. I don't think Joe has the will or the brains or the motivation or the capacity, much less the pure evil, to do what Hitler did. I think he's a doddering and ineffectual leader, and in his lack of leadership, evil is on the march. I agree with you. But I don't think he's Hitler. I think that the Islamic Republic of Iran and whoever's in charge there and the fanatical Islamists that's the more apt comparison to Hitler. There were weak leaders in Europe, such as Neville Chamberlain and others in France, etc., who didn't want to see the evil that was on the rise, the gathering storm. And that's what I think Biden is. He's one of the many who just don't want to see it. He's naive, he's ineffectual, he's weak. So are many of the leaders in the West. They want to play around war games with the comparatively more rational enemies, such as Russia and China, who I'm not saying are benevolent powers, but are not declaring genocidal intent, and they're not fanatics or completely out of their minds that I'm aware of. And I mean, that's what they want to focus on, because it's the less truly malignant and gathering threat, as I see it. So I think that your better comparison is, Islamism, radical Islam led by the theocratic and corrupt fanatical leaders who have openly declared their intention to completely destroy a country, and are racing toward nuclear capability, and have attacked and brutalized and harassed Americans for 40 years. That's Iran. Those are Muslim terrorists. That's Hamas and Hezbollah and ISIS and all the Hydra with 1,000 evil heads. That's your comparison, not Biden. Biden is just a weak leader who's letting the Hitlers, the modern day Hitlers, rise and gain strength, and he's giving them money, and he's in denial, as is the entire democratic establishment of this country, as is Europe. They've already been infiltrated. They refuse to see that this is a civilizational war. Nobody, look, no person of goodwill, including me, wants to egg on war. Naturally, we want to avoid some huge confrontation. I understand that. I'm not gunning for war, but I'm just saying, I don't know if the answer at this point is all out war, but it's certainly not to in any way strengthen these people with deals, thinking you can make deals with them. Thinking you can make trades with them, you can give them money. This weak policy, while we play war games with other countries that, whatever they are or they're not as utterly, totally, and completely godless and maniacal as these extremist Muslims are. We want to pretend that we're at imminent danger from Russia, which is. That's just a complete unknown. There's no clear and present evidence that Russia's attacking here, but we are being attacked by Iran. And I know it's complicated because Russia and Iran have some kind of an old unholy alliance. But my point is just that the immediate threat is the real Hitler is radical Islam. It's like a Hitler with 1,000 heads. That's the comparison. That's who's blown off our soldiers' legs in Iraq. That's who abducted our people and held them hostage 40 years ago. That's who stabbed Taylor Force in the heart, a young Marine who was touring around Jerusalem a few years ago. That's who has killed our soldiers on ships over the past few months. That's who conducted October 7th. That's the enemy. That's the Hitler. It's so obvious. It's as plain as day. That's what the weak West doesn't want to see, even though it's looking us straight in the face. That's who did September 11th. And that's the enemy. These other things are theoreticals. Will China and Russia give us a hard time 50 years from now? I don't know. Personally, I don't think they're as stupid and self-destructive as to all out make World War III. I think they have cleverer ways of trying to exert influence and power. It's not that I think they're benevolent. I just don't think they're absolutely self-destructive lunatics. But these people are. And we got to get straight that, you know, this is what we're dealing with. We have let the threat in deep into this country now. And you're right that it's evil. You're right. They are incredibly manipulative. They have seduced a large portion of our citizenry with this victimhood, bully victim dynamic where they attack, they, you know, force the confrontations, the bloody, brutal confrontations. They force Israel and America to respond, and then they cry about it. I mean, it's the most obvious, you know, manipulation in the world, but because a lot of the West is soft, they fall for it, you know, and we do not have a lot of critical thinkers among our youth, unfortunately. The ones we have tend to sit on the sidelines. There are some great young people, but most of them are acting like sheep. Anybody who, quote unquote, protests in a mask, by the way, is a sheep, doesn't stand for anything, has no courage, and is nothing on his own or her own. And people of real principle understand this. But these people are a mob. They're a mob. And they've been whipped up. And you're right that we need to educate. I mean, simple truths such as Israel is fighting a war, but they're trying to do it as humanely as possible. Yes, Palestinian civilians are dying too, and I would never deny that. And it pains me too. But the reason is because Hamas has brutalized Israel, has forced this, uses its children. Where are the humanitarians? You know, where is the effort to evacuate Palestinian women and children? Do you know that Egypt put up a whole new wall? Egypt blocked them out to make sure no Palestinians could even come into Egypt. I want to ask some of these protesters who care so much about the Palestinian civilians, where's your critique of Hamas for using these people, of Egypt for blocking them in? It's all just a pile of one-sided propaganda, and it's very dismaying, but you know, it's true. We have to just keep up with logic and facts as best we can, and I guess Israel has to do what it has to do. But the bigger situation is that the world is definitely still suffering from too much kowtowing to fanatics.
I agree. Israel has to do what Israel has to do, which is, in my opinion, eradicate this evil caliphate. We're up against a hard commercial break. We'll be back. And when we come back, I want to touch on something that you mentioned, the March of Evil. You listen to After Dark on the America Out Loud platform. And my co-host tonight is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. We'll be back after this break. Thank you.
Spike proteins help viruses enter into your cells, disrupting your health and your well-being. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body of spike proteins, which allows your body to repair from within, supporting your immune and respiratory systems and regulating your inflammatory response. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to americaoutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
And we're back with the second half of the show. And when we went to break, I had mentioned that I wanted to talk about the March of Evil, which Heather had introduced during the first half of the show when I just came out and said that I felt that Biden was a modern-day Hitler. And then Heather came back and she was putting things into perspective and saying that, you know, Joe is such a, lack of a better word, just a bumbling idiot, how he wouldn't know what's going on. But he is definitely, like some of the others, watching this unfold. And if you're silent, you're complicit. And it's just, it disturbs me seeing our country seemingly unwilling to protect its citizens, its Jewish brothers and sisters. And why all at once did Jews become the fall guy when they were clearly trying to defend themselves on October 7th in Israel? We saw this. It was a normal day, and then out of nowhere, captured on video with these people coming in, descending down from the air, kidnapping people, killing, brutalizing the country. And I think the last, when we last spoke about this, we spoke about Sheryl Sandberg, who's done a video about the brutality that occurred that day and afterwards. And why this administration has not called on Hamas to release the Americans that they're holding, to release the hostages. Now, I know that they've released a video making us think that these hostages are alive. I don't know if I believe that, Heather, because it's been some time and we haven't really heard anything. And it would believe me to believe that the Biden administration and Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State, they know that the hostages are dead. But they're not saying anything. And we have the Biden administration leaving behind American citizens, as they did when they withdrew from Afghanistan, and they created all these stories as to why they can't get the citizens. They didn't want to come. We told them on this day. I mean, all of these excuses that, I mean, if you really think about it, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's just Biden's failure. And then to learn that this same administration is considering letting come into our border individuals from the Gaza Strip. What in the heck? Jordan won't let them in. Egypt won't let them in. Saudi Arabia doesn't want them there. Why is it that Biden feels that he should take them in and he can contain them? He can barely control our southern border. And that's the reason why Americans are mad, and we should be mad. And anyone voting for a Democrat, anyone voting for Biden administration, you have your head screwed on backwards. Found out just the other day that a Democrat won some race in upstate New York. Are these people, do they see what's happening? Are they aware as to what's going on in our great country? This is devastating. Why would Biden want those people to come here? Well, they're trying to change the electorate. They're trying to change voters. There's no other reason. And I would say, Heather, a decade from now, you see what's happening in Europe, it will be the same thing here. We will rue the day. We will look at the country and say, what the heck happened? We will have terrorist activity all over in Michigan and Minnesota, where I do believe is a terrorist bed. The FBI, Christopher Wray, needs to get off his duck and investigate and to find out what's happening. But he won't do it. We've got to wake up. The world is an evil place, unfortunately. There are a lot of bad players. There are a lot of people that want to see the demise of America. And now it's within our borders. You have these young people who are empty-headed. And we hear this all the time on the news. Well, the people that are there that are on these college campuses, they flew them in, and they don't belong on the college campuses. It doesn't matter. They're in America. It does not matter if they're going to school. They're here in America, well, and creating havoc, Heather.
Yeah, and one thing I did want to mention, Rob, you know, there was a good piece in the Wall Street Journal today or yesterday by Ira Stoll, who's a very well-regarded journalist, tracing the money trail from George Soros's Open Society Foundation and the Rockefeller Brothers Foundation. They've each of them given many hundreds of thousands of dollars through like a middleman sort of shell, some kind of other, you know, they try to be clever about it. They've funneled hundreds of thousands of dollars to something called Education for a Just Peace, which then gets funneled to the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, and which has been shown to have financed some of these so-called protests. And in the article, he had the proof that some of these so-called student activists are being paid between $3,000 and approximately $4,000 for three months, quote, work. And their work is aiding campaigns that demand the U.S. turn its back on Israel financially, diplomatically, and militarily. So these are nonprofit organizations that get government tax breaks. Soros and the Rockefeller brothers, trying to be clever, they're not just handing the money to Hamas, but they're funneling it through some other BS organization, pseudo-charitable organization, that then hands it to these radicals to directly pay these students to malign Israel and to support the most rabidly anti-Israel political agenda. Now, in addition to being sneaky and underhanded, this should be illegal, because I do know something about nonprofit status. And when you have nonprofit status, that money is money that would have otherwise been paid in taxes. It needs to be spent a certain percentage every year on philanthropic or charitable activity, meaning to help people or to do something that can be authentically considered philanthropic, something to help people in the, you know, health or charity or, you know, people in need or the arts. You can do educational programming. What you cannot do with it is directly fund candidates or political activism. That's not what the law is written to allow, because this is something wealthy people do. Instead of paying a certain amount of taxes, they set up a charitable foundation, and that money can be used on charity. This money, you know, is clearly going to radical political cause. And Stoll, in his piece, makes the point that the IRS should be investigating this, because in addition to being underhanded, it's illegal, probably. And it's proof. You trace the money trail. So people who say, oh, don't malign Soros, that's anti-Semitism. The fact that Soros happens to be Jewish, you know, does not give him cover. He's doing this, and so are the Rockefeller brothers, apparently. So it's not just Jewish people. It's misguided leftists who are paying and funding some of this campus radical anti-American agenda. Check it out. It's a good piece in the Wall Street Journal by Ira Stoll, Stoll. They ran it on the opinion page. I don't know why. It should have been, you know, in the news pages.
I would encourage all of our listeners to go in and check that out, because we've been talking about this, about George Soros. I know that Andrew and I have been talking about George Soros's involvement in American politics for quite some time, going all the way back to 2016. And it seems as if though still no one wants to call him out. And he is a threat to democracy. He is a dangerous man. And we're sitting by and we're allowing this to happen. And when Trump makes references to this, he's not the only person, but, right, but he started it out. We knew of his misdoings for quite some time. And as you mentioned, the Wall Street Journal has an article out that's also calling out the Rockefeller brothers. And we had spoken about this, I think, on Monday's show about the Rockefeller brothers that are doing this. And they're going using these, but they're using these charity companies in order to fund this. And if you think back, after, I think it was right before Arafat had died, I think it was in 2007, when the American financial institutions were given an edict by the government to go in and do a deep dive into these charities that they had bank accounts for, only to find out that Arafat was behind a lot of them. So they then required more banks to become more strict and stringent on their KYC, know your client and know your customer procedures because of it, because Arafat was able to hide his true holdings or ownership in a lot of these charities, and those charities were being used to fund terrorist activity. Fast forward to today, and it seems as if those laws or rules or requirements have become extremely lax, because how is it that the Rockefellers and Soros and so many others are able to fund these charities and get away with what they're doing? As we mentioned on one of our shows,
They're not funding charities. They're supposed to be funding charity.
Right, but it's under the guise of funding charities. Right, but how is it, Heather, that they're able to do this and to get away with it? And we see it happening. What financial institutions are allowing these individuals to hold these accounts? And then you look at Trump, and they tried to get all banks to, like, turn their back on him. No, you can't keep his money. Whereas you have a group of people who are, we see the fruit of their labor, which is destruction. And people seem to be okay with it. This is wrong. And that is the reason why I guess I am so harsh in my criticism and calling this out. You have Columbia University, you have college professors that are actively supporting this, that are riling these students up, getting these students to behave this way. And we saw how the police went in the other night and got these radicals out of the occupied the building that they had occupied, only to see them out within a couple of hours to go back to doing the exact same thing. And then, Heather, on top of that, at UCLA, they've come up with a list of wants, demands. And what do they want? They want food. They want material to create posters. They want these plastic wraps to tie your hands. I mean, all this crazy stuff. It's like, wait a minute. Do you want us to give you food? How can we allow this? This is not back, let's say, in the 60s when the kids were protesting the Vietnam War because they didn't want to go to war. Okay, I understood that. What we have now is we have them protesting against the livelihood of a group of people that they deem to be the enemy, a group of people that they don't even know the history as to what has happened. And we want to sit back and we want to celebrate and we want to say that this is okay. I'm sorry, it's not okay. You have a right to protest, to peaceful protest, but what they're doing, the destruction of those university campuses, of those buildings, that's wrong, and it has to be called out. But then you look at what happened on Jan 6, and everyone is just up at, oh my God, they're up in arms and they're playing the violin, how horrible. But we're looking at this, the destruction. We see it. It wasn't one day, it wasn't a few hours, it is ongoing, and then it's spreading. Like I said, the summer is upon us. This will not get any better. It will only worsen. It will go all the way up to the Democrats' National Convention. And, you know, if they disrupt it, it's on them. They brought this on themselves. Go ahead, Heather.
I mean, I just think that what we saw in the summer of 2020, Rob, you know, when we saw mobs rampaging, you know, not just for a day, not just for a week, but for 6 solid months in the middle of what we were told was a national emergency, where anybody else who gathered for anything, for church, for work, for sport, much less for a social reason, was deemed a selfish grandmother-killing pig. And we were told that, you know, to keep gathering, and even when things got riotous and violent, that that was a patriotic duty, and that that did not spread the virus. You know, at that point, I knew we were in Orwellian times. Truth was what the arbiters of truth decided. So, I mean, in light of that, and how long that went on. And I'll tell you what, my only criticism of President Trump, one of them, is that I don't, you know, I guess it was complicated and legally he left it to the governors. And I guess that's what he's supposed to do, short of an all-out national, you know, emergency. But I thought it reached that level when you had Americans being beaten up on the street for turning the wrong corner, businesses trashed to the tune of billions of dollars. I thought the National Guard should have been called in at that point. It didn't happen. And given that it didn't happen, I mean, I felt like that we were due for even more anarchy. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm almost pleasantly surprised that Eric Adams in New York, apparently, you know, did get the NYPD in there. I think he did the right thing. You know, maybe it could have happened a little sooner, but, you know, there is a concept of speech and all that. But I think it's a simple truth that once a protest becomes violent, once you light a match, you smash a building, you poke someone in the eye, you push someone, there goes your free speech rights. That's not about speech or peaceful assembly. That's violence. The minute that starts, authorities have every right to come in there and arrest you. And I think Eric Adams did the right thing here to have these people arrested. They were not peaceful. They were not dignified. If they had been, there would be no reason for anyone to be scared to go to class. You know, we know they're a mob. We saw them smash that building, trespass in there. He did the right thing. And so, I mean, I have to say, for all the concern, and I share it, Rob, I do think that there are allies in this country. There are enough sensible people that they're, you know, they're not getting away with this. You know, they are going to be arrested for this, and I'm glad to see it. I'm surprised, to be honest. I mean, it went on for 6 months with very few arrests and even more, you know, injury and death and to the police and destruction of billions of dollars of property. So, you know, I don't know how to account for the fact that that went on and was tolerated and even celebrated by politicians. And this is actually being, you know, clamped down on. So, I mean, I kind of, you know, I'm going to sound a note of cautious optimism that this country isn't so totally foolish. I mean, Guy Biden certainly is, and most of the Democrats are, but the conservatives in this country will not put up with this. And I think some of the Democrats even, you know, seem to know that it's unacceptable, such as Eric Adams and John Fetterman. Maybe they're in the minority, but I'm glad to see there are some people of sense, I mean, who are not going to tolerate, you know, unruly, violent protests, including of foreigners, some of whom don't even belong here, harassing our American people on our soil. No.
Well, I'll say this, Heather. Right. Some Democrats like John Fetterman, and I'm surprised that he's spoken out. I will not give Eric Adams any credit. He only sent the police to Columbia because they invited him to do so. Other than that, they said that he couldn't come. So we're up against a commercial break. We come back, will be the last half of the show, and I hope you'll come back and listen. Thank you.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
The last half of the show, and when we went to break, I had mentioned that Eric Adams, I didn't give him any credit. And some of you know, you probably, just in case you didn't know, I don't like Eric Adams at all. A lot of people thought that maybe he will be different. Maybe he will come in and he'll hit the reset button and make New York great again, but he didn't do it. I didn't expect him to do it because he couldn't do it. And I don't think he had any reason to do it because I think he gave in to this entire idea of Black man is being suppressed and I'm here and I'm going to help him out. Remember he made that comment about, you know, how he treated the crackers, referring to white people. And I just never gave him any credit. And now I still don't, because and it's not his fault, but the Columbia University, when people were saying that he needed to go in and establish law and order, the president said that he wasn't welcomed. He could not go there unless the university president welcomed him or invited him on the campus, because they have their own security. So much for security. So you think of these, again, you think of these poor Jewish students who are there, terrified, told not to go to class, to stay inside their dorms. Some of them were even unable to go to the food hall to eat. And I was listening to Alan Dershowitz, who had said that he was prepared to file a lawsuit against the university and definitely these students, because he said that he knew that Alvin Bragg would not hold them accountable, that even if they were arrested, and they were, that they would be let back out on the streets. And sure enough, they were. So he's saying that he is going to file a lawsuit against these students. And I hear this all the time on the news. People are saying, you know, these students' parents paid all this money for them to go to these schools. And for what? Because they're not learning anything. And now they'll never be able to get a job. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, think about what you're saying. You're saying that these students won't be able to get a job? Oh, no. If anything, they will be able to get a job, because a lot of our corporations have become so woke. So they will hire them. I mean, you have people that are on the university professors whose backgrounds are checkered. They themselves have participated in some type of, I would say, civil disobedience that went beyond it. And they're teaching at these higher institutions of learning, whereas you'd be hard pressed to find conservatives who are there. So I think that's a false statement to say that these kids won't be able to find a job. because they will be able to find a job. And if they don't find a job, they'll probably rely on Democrats to provide them with some type of stipend to live their lives. I mean, these kids don't care about finding jobs anyway. They don't care about being productive citizens. The only thing they want to do is that they've never found a protest that they did not like. For them to go out and what is the purpose? Let me just say this. What was the purpose for any of these students to camp out on the university property? What did they hope to gain? I mean, you're not going to get anything by that. Well, we want you just to diverse from supporting Israel. Okay, by camping out on the college campus? No. This was by design. They wanted to stay there indefinitely and just create some little camp that they could rename the same thing they did during the Summer of Love, and we spoke about that, in Oregon and Seattle. What needed to happen is that the strong arm of the law needed to come down and force a lot of these students are out. But you know what, Heather? Had that happened, they would have sued the police, and then they would have gotten money. Remember during the riots of 2020 here in New York City, these folks sued the police department, and they were awarded money for their misbehavior. A lot of people have forgotten about that. But see, when you forget about it, when you forget about it, you'll continue to support these individuals, and you will continue to vote them in office. And this is one of the things that I fought conservative news outlets for, that they don't keep these stories in the forefront. But here on After Dark, on the America Out Loud Radio Network, and the America Out Loud Podcast Network, we're going to keep these stories out there front and center, that these kids were arrested and they were released to go back to doing what they were already doing. During the summer of 2020, these kids tore up government property. In some places, they burned it down, and then they were let back out on the streets, and then in turn sued the local city government and got money. You can't make this up. So I would like to say to all the Black people who are still waiting for your reparations, well, not only did your reparations go to illegal aliens, but it also went to these kids who tore up different parts of the city. And it's also going to go to those Gazians that are coming here from the Gaza Strip, who will settle here in America and probably create havoc. Your money is going to them. So all of you who want to say that Donald Trump is a racist and we got to vote for Biden, well, good luck. You brought this upon yourselves. You brought this evil. You're welcoming this evil. You're saying with open arms, come in, let's do it again. Because a vote for the Democrats at this current stage is a vote for all of this radicalism, is a vote for this propaganda that will only destroy the country. Heather, what are your thoughts?
Yes, yes. And I'd add that these kids, these so-called activists, again, are many of them are being paid to sit there in the tent and to, you know, wave manufactured signs behind their scarves and their masks, like a bunch of nothings that they are, alone, because they can't stand alone. They don't even know what they stand for, other than supporting wicked terrorism. If they were principled at all, they would take off their masks and explain what it is they stand for, such as if they cared about Palestinian lives, they would be asking for some kind of mutual ceasefire. They can't bring themselves to criticize their precious Hamas, which is what got them into the whole situation in the first place and uses their people like cannon fodder. So I don't even think they care about these children. I think we care more about Palestinian children than they do. These are supposedly brilliant students at the Ivy League. I haven't seen one sign saying, you know, pro-Palestinian, anti-Hamas. You know, Hamas, give up the hostages, Israel, ceasefire. Why don't they say that if they really care about people and human life? Why are there no, you know, in all these supposedly smart kids, there's not one with the brains to even suggest, or the individuality or courage to suggest that there's any part of blame on the part of their horrible leadership for what's happening to the children of Gaza. You know, where is a leader who will say anything like that? So, you know, they're also getting paid, Rob, many of them, to sit there in the tents and do the PR work of terrorists. They know not what they do, I guess. I mean, I have talked to some liberal friends who, it's not that they're making excuses for them exactly, but they're saying to me that these kids are so, that they don't really, they see the big Palestinian death toll and they don't understand. They think it's a genocide. And I honestly don't understand that. I understand being concerned about the death and the destruction and being heartbroken about it. But I don't understand how anyone who's alive doesn't know there was a massacre on October 7th, many massacres, sadistic massacres and deliberate torture and capture and murder of civilians en masse, because Hamas themselves filmed it with GoPro cameras and posted it on their precious TikTok. So how can these kids, you know, how can people say these people don't know, you know, that this is more than just Israel killing people for no reason? I honestly don't believe that. I don't believe that they don't know. And if they know, at the very least, their position should be that they're, you know, if they're anti-violence and they're criticizing Israel, they should also have criticism for Hamas. So I don't understand this idea that anybody doesn't know about the immense savage provocation that took place, and they're just pretending that this is all taking place in a vacuum and that it's one-sided and Israel's evil. I mean, I'm very disappointed in these so-called intellectuals. And I think that it is a kind of brainwash, Rob. We've discussed it. I think, you know, the stage has been set for this. It's a kind of Marxist othering of people, dividing people into categories. You know, I mean, I just wish some kind of real humanitarian leadership would emerge. But maybe that's naive and of me. You know, this is a war. It's a terrible situation. It's an all-out war, because you cannot live with people who absolutely will your destruction and will stop at nothing. So I guess that's the situation. And, you know, maybe I'm naive to be concerned for civilians on both sides, but I am concerned about that.
And we should be concerned, Heather. We should be concerned. Yeah. And I'm something else that I want to just call to the attention of everyone is that we'd mentioned in the first block that how many people were just completely angry or mad or disappointed as what happened on Jan 6, and they kept blaming the MAGA crowd, MAGA. And as I said, that was all about 3 hours or so, a couple of hours, whereas you have what we have that's taking place now has been going on for a week. And these individuals are taking over university. They're trying to take over university campuses, and they want to burn them down. I heard one group say, let's burn it down. We don't care. The violence that they are speaking, the rhetoric, and maybe the FBI is investigating. Maybe they're inside these camps just to make certain that things don't get completely out of control. But I remember back some years ago, back in 2010, 2011, with Occupy Wall Street. And at the time I was covering parts of it for, I want to say the Huffington Post, but for CNN, CNN had the citizen journalism page, and I was covering the event for them. And I remember walking up on some of these kids and I was asking them, you know, why are they here? What are they doing? And none of them can give a straight answer. There were some who, I guess, they were genuine about the cause and felt that Wall Street was being given a bailout by Barack Obama. But a majority of them were just there for show. It was like they were trying to capture something that their parents or grandparents had lived in with Woodstock and with, they mentioned during the first block, the Vietnam War. And they felt, well, this is our chance to have our voices heard. Yeah. People are always saying that we don't say anything. And I'm like, and you still aren't saying anything, because you don't know why you're here. What do you want? And then they wrote down on these big pieces of paper, these are our tenants, and these are the things that we're asking for. And it was well-funded. They had flat-screen TVs. They had food. It was just, it was almost comical. But at the same time, I kept looking and thinking, they want to belong. They want to have something. They want to say something that they did. And then to find out that the person who was doling out the paychecks for all this, you know, a George Soros acolyte, was staying at a 5-star hotel not far from Zuccotti Park in the financial district. And that's when this all started to unravel, when people started saying, wait a minute, you know, you're telling us to come out here and you're staying in a 5-star hotel. We're here rain or shine. We're making these tents, and they had these big food vendors. And, you know, and the liberals, they were just praised. They're saying, oh, my God, this is democracy at work. I remember seeing Van Jones. I remember seeing some of the other commentators on fake news CNN. I remember seeing, what was that guy, Russell Simmons, and so many other entertainers that were out there saying, oh, yeah, you guys are doing the right thing, and we're proud of you. It's like you're saying this, but then you go home in your luxury penthouse watching this, egging these kids on. And it's really sad. And I think that's what's happening now. And I think there needs to be a moment of awakening that these kids look back and say, wow, we were being played as pawns. They were using us. Look at what we're... And the only way they'll come to that realization is that if there are severe consequences to their actions, we can't just say, put them in jail, let them out. We're going to clean their slates. No. There has to be, and we said this on one of our shows, there has to be shame, because with shame comes repentance. And people will say, I did something wrong that I shouldn't have done. And as a result of my bad action, this is what's going to happen to me. But if you don't have that, people will continue doing what they want to do, going their merry little way. And that's it. So I think we got to bring that back, and we have to hold these individuals accountable the same way we have to hold Joe Biden accountable. And how do we hold him accountable? By not voting for him in this upcoming election. We can't vote for him. A vote for him is a vote for disaster. A vote for him is like just marching to the guillotine and about to have your head chopped off. We cannot. We have to resist. We have to call these individuals out, because when we don't do it, it's almost as if though we're empowering them, we're giving them more power to continue doing what they're doing, and we don't want that. Heather, I'm sorry, but we're all out of time. I know you had a thought you wanted to say, but we want you to say that, and we will be back, because we're going to continue this conversation, because if we don't, if we pretend as if though it didn't happen, it will keep happening. You're listening to After Dark on the America Outlaw Talk Radio Network. And my special co-host tonight was Heather Robinson of the New York Post. We hope you're tuned in for tomorrow night for a continuation of our discussion. And as we always say when we end the show, God bless America, God bless Israel. Stand for something or fall for nothing. Good night and God bless.